sunshine, a little over. Liver, liver, lead us less too far. We wonder, love's sweet voices calling yonder. Shine, little over. Glimmer, glimmer, hey there, don't get dimmer.
Good evening and welcome to the Pledge Drive edition of As the Worm Turns. I'm your host, Jill Spears, and I am in the studio with our favorite gardener, of course, Lance Swaggart. Good evening, Lance.
Good evening. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Good.
And look who just walked in. It's Jer Lowe from Earth Friendly Supply. How are you, Jer?
We're good.
Looks like you've got a couple of premiums here for us for our Pledge Drive show.
Yes, ma'am.
What do you got there, darling?
We have the Maria Thune Biodynamic Calendar for 2017.
Okay.
This is
we need one of those, don't we, Lance?
This is a
for the show. Yeah.
This is a comprehensive biodynamic calendar, and it also comes with a pull-out in the back that you can hang on your wall right there, you know, on your garden bench or wherever you want to use it.
Nice.
Yeah, you have one for the house and one for the garden shed.
That's right.
Okay, so those are available for people that are going to pledge tonight.
Yeah, we got a couple calendars here. Pledge, you know, make a $25 pledge, get a calendar.
There you go. Yeah. And I want to tell you, we've got a couple challenge pledges out there because this is what it's all about, is raising money. And we've got $200 worth of challenges out there. Yeah, Lulu and Anthony throwing those challenges down. Lulu being back next week on the show. It's time to call 527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now. And this is a live call-in show.
Yeah.
We're all in the studio together tonight.
Call in, make a pledge, and we might let you ask a gardening question.
Yeah.
There you go.
We will do that because we love when you participate, and that makes our show better. Huh,
oh,
Lance?
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
A lot of good stories. Mm-hmm. A lot of good advice.
Got them bulbs popping right now.
Got the bulbs popping.
Bulbs popping. A nice fresh rain settled the dust.
Yeah,
settled
Dust. That was needed.
Yeah, and it was real. It just sort of, things just stand up when it's like that.
Yeah.
I watered over the weekend, and there's things were looking pretty wilty, and all of a sudden they look really nice.
Yeah, feels good.
Everything's budding out now. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Getting green up there by you, Jer?
Yeah, it's starting to. It's good. Ooh.
Yeah, right on. All right, we are talking planting tonight and getting going on the garden.
Yeah, planting a lot of stuff. Mainly, for me, it was just I do a lot of lettuce, a lot of spinach. I planted my first bed of carrots, and that's a variety called Rumba. Mm. It's a Nantes type. It's amazing. It only gets at most a 6-inch top, but it'll have an 8-inch bottom. Root.
Nice.
Yeah, they size up really fast. And the trick with the Rumbas is you don't let them get big. Because they get big, they get a crack right down the side.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So the trick is knowing when to pull them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you just test it? Or
you just start pulling.
Just start pulling.
You can sort of see, I'll thin them to 1 inch, and then we'll come back and take out every other one.
Okay.
You can just sort of check the shoulders and see if it's a big one or not and just pull them.
Yeah. How big is that bed, the carrot bed?
That's, well, it's got 6 rows in it and it's probably about 65 feet.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a lot of carrots.
Lots of carrots.
That's
for
a
the
whole
start.
Lot of carrots.
Jared's going to do the math on that.
And then there's still 4 more beds. I'm planting an extra bed of carrots. So I got 4 more to. 4 more beds to plant this. So that's new for me to do that.
But we grow the best carrots here in the North Fork Valley.
Yeah.
Like I've never, ever tasted carrots better than the ones we grow here.
Mm-hmm. For some reason. What do you think that is, Lance?
It's the cool nights.
Yeah.
The cool nights.
Absolutely.
And once you get a frost on them, boy, they get really, really good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's see. What else is planted? Peas, both snap peas, snow peas, and I just got the sweet peas in.
You got your spinach in?
Well, I'm still harvesting the one from last September, but yes, I planted a second planting, or the first planting this spring, and I'll plant one more. Lettuce has been planted twice.
Wow.
You know, and I got one that's up and needs to be thinned.
You're kicking my butt, Lance.
Do you want to say what you have planted, Jer, or do you want to save that for another time?
We don't have anything planted right yet.
Yeah.
We're too busy getting everybody else planted.
Yeah, really.
Right. Everyone's excited about it. Okay, 527-486-8166, KVNF now. Call and help us meet those challenge pledges. We do have a $400 goal, so yeah. If people can take advantage of those challenge pledges, we'll
Come
be
on,
right in there.
Pledge.
Right in there.
Help out your favorite worm show.
That's right. And we know you're listening. We hear all the time that people like to listen. And this is your chance, you know, to help KVNF thrive, because that's really participation is what makes it happen. Can't do it without you. All right, 527-486-8166, KVNF now. You're also getting other beds ready, Lance.
Yeah, five beds are ready. Actually, two are completely planted. And the other ones are ready. They got compost tilled in, and all I have to do is rake about when I get ready to get the, I need to plant now.
Uh-huh.
And stuff. And I have one completely raked out just for that. It's like I all of a sudden get a whim. I need to plant this. I'm going to plant it now, and it's ready to go. So the next bed that I'm going to rake out will be the onion bed.
Okay.
And I'll plant seven varieties of onions.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are they? Two reds and five yellows.
And that's all going in the same bed?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, actually, two of the other varieties might go in that bed that's already raked out. I found some new ones, so I'm just going to try them.
Right.
See what happens.
That sounds good. And those little potato onions are really good.
They're already planted.
Wink,
wink. Yeah.
Yeah. And you've got compost. Last time Jer was here, we talked about compost.
Yeah.
And Lance has been busy at that as well. Jer, what do you got going there?
I have three piles made. Two of them have already been turned twice. One made Monday, and I'll be making another one in the next week or so.
All right, so cool. Going out.
And then that's my area can only handle four, and four is a little crowded, and then I need that much in the springtime. And then after I'm done for the spring with what I need, I'll just go back to three piles, and I'll do that the entire summer.
I'm finding, because we had a fairly warm winter and a wet winter, that the compost piles and the compost that were, you know, like we get a batch in locally from a guy, and all of it is some of the most beautiful compost I've ever seen. Like, it's really nice this year, for sure.
Great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I have that finished pile that was all shredded, and I let it sit all winter. Mm-hmm. It was finished last fall, and that stuff is really, really good.
Yeah, it's really nice. It didn't really go to sleep. Kept composting, you know. So
okay, great. Good. That's a great thing to hear, getting our gardens going. And you just keep that rotation thing going all year, right, Lance, where you're building piles?
I'm building piles. Yeah, I have three going, and they're always, right now I have four, but as soon as one's out, I'll build another pile. Mm-hmm. I don't waste any time.
Yeah.
You know, and I have sources of manure relatively within 2 or 3 miles.
Yeah, nice.
You know, I don't leave a pile of manure at my house. It gets old, and also if you want flies, just have a pile of manure sitting around.
There you go.
So yeah. I don't I only get manure what I need.
Get it when you're ready.
Yeah.
Hey, somebody out there, I know you want this biodynamic calendar for 2017.
That's right. Give us a buzz. Yep. We are here to raise money. I mean, we're here every week, but this week's special to raise money for the station, KVNF. And, you know, this is the only live call-in show on the station. And now's your time. You can go to the phone and show your support for that. It's great local programming, and
That's
it
right.
allows everybody to get involved. All you got to do is pick up the phone. 527-486-8166, KVNF now. Lance, I heard someone today saying that they were driving along the roadways pretty slow looking for asparagus.
Oh,
it's a little early.
Well, I ate asparagus last night.
You did?
You had some already up?
I ate some asparagus last night.
And you're not saying where it came from?
it came from my yard. Where else would I get it?
Okay, so it is up.
It is up. Uh-huh. My asparagus crowns are planted too shallow.
Oh,
so they warm up.
So they come up a little early.
They come up. They're only at best 6 inches,
uh-huh.
you know. Mm-hmm. And normally you plant asparagus crowns, 12 to 18.
Mm-hmm.
And that way they come down, they come up later.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they were coming up 2 weeks ago. And what I do, because I now know that they come this early, I actually, if it's going to be a hard frost, I cover them. I put tarps on them.
Cool.
Yeah.
Tender little tend to little spears.
We got a caller there?
We've got a caller on the line. Hi, caller. Are you there?
I am.
Good evening. Who are we speaking with?
My name is Mary, and I'm interested in that calendar. What do I have to do to get it?
Okay, here's your chance, Jer.
$25 pledge would be good.
Okay. You got it.
All right. Well, thank you, Mary. Appreciate
that.
That's
a great calendar.
There goes a calendar. And, we want to have you call back, Mary, so that you can give your information and we can get that calendar to you. And we thank you for that so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Yep. Thank you very much for supporting KBNF.
Yeah, and remember, there's those challenge pledges out there. So pony up.
Hey, Jer, on that calendar, is it based on East Coast time? So you have to take 2 hours off? Is that correct on those things?
I think on the Maria Thune, that is correct.
Yeah, I think it's so. Just know if she's still listening, that it's for our, since we're in mountain time, you have to take 2 hours off.
That's right. But, you know, it gives you your flower days and your leaf days and your root days and your fruit days.
Yeah. And there's even barren days where you shouldn't be planting or
doing. Yeah. And it gives you the best transplanting times. That's one thing I love about this. And
you use that up there, Jer?
We do use it, actually. You know, we started using it a few years back, and it's been tough for me because I'm a scientist, but I'm letting go a little bit.
Well, you know what? That's over 100 years old of testing.
It is, indeed, and there's something to it, and we seem to have really good results if we follow the calendar. We have good germination rates, and things bounce back a little quicker, and if we follow it, they really thrive, and, you know, it's
worth trying.
It might have some voodoo going on there, but I'm dealing with it.
Okay.
Right on.
Proof's in the pudding, you know.
Yeah. The proof is in the pudding. 527-486-8166. KVNF now. You can call and ask a gardening question, and you can call and show your support as well. Lance, you mentioned earlier you were going to till in your cover crop on one of the beds.
Yeah, I did the cover crop. I tilled in the cover crop for the potato bed. And I'm going to be planting potatoes in maybe 2 weeks, the early potatoes.
Early ones.
And so I needed to till the whole bed. So I tilled that in, and it tilled up really nice, and it's sitting there. Generally speaking, if you're going to plant a cover crop and you're going to till it in, you need to let it break down.
Okay.
So that's what I'm doing. Now, some like rye, planted potatoes, you can plant it directly into a tilled in rye. It does really good that way. Yeah. Anyways, that's what I did.
Give it a couple weeks to
and,
work in.
I'll plant
a little organic matter, a little nitrogen.
If it does, as honestly, I'd watered that area over the weekend, and we got some rain. There's any weed seeds in there. They'll try to germinate, but rye is an allelopathic plant, and it will inhibit that weed germination, if not stop it.
Okay.
So that's
Yeah. All right. So I've got that winter rye as a cover crop that I tried. And so I think I'm going to till that in this weekend, and that'll give me a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And I can plant in those beds.
You can plant. The smaller seeds will have a hard time, but if you're just going to do plants, then you're just fine. Just plant right in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
See
I have been informed that, yes, you are correct, that is Eastern time. And I've also been informed by my lovely wife that it is pronounced Tune, not Thune, even though it's spelled T-H-U-N.
Thank you, shop girl, lovely wife.
That's right.
She's always keeping you honest,
Jer. That's
right.
That's right.
All right, we've got some people to thank. And John and Mary here in Paonia, thank you so much. Patricia in Monticello, Utah.
Oh, great.
We were just talking about her, Lance.
Yes.
And thank you, Patricia and Amber here in Paonia. We love Amber and appreciate her support. And we've got Catherine in Paonia. So thank you all so much for listening and calling and
that's great.
Supporting the show tonight. 527-486-8166, KVNF now. Let's talk a little bit about planning while you're planting.
Oh, the succession plantings.
Yeah.
And leaving enough space.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that one, that bed of spinach that I planted last fall that's still going like gangbusters is I'm just going to, when it's time to plant tomatoes, I'm not going to work the soil or nothing. I'm just going to take the spinach out and plant the tomatoes right in that bed.
Nice.
That's and part of that bed is for spinach seed anyway, so that's already been marked off. So that's one succession planning. I might put the peppers in there, and but that early bed that I planted I planted peas and poppies for poppy seeds and the spinach and fennel, and there's parsley. That bed, I realize now early, will be the fall planted bed for beets and kohlrabi,
right.
And maybe more spinach, maybe even fall peas, those kind of things, because the space is going to be done by July. So
yeah.
I'm going to take everything out, I'll probably broad fork it, and I might put some compost down. We'll see what the soil fertility looks like at that point.
To our beginning gardeners out there, if you're looking to plant some greens right now, you're coming up on now, you can get some in the ground and probably be pretty safe, and then you want to plant them about every 2 weeks so that you keep getting succession harvests of your lettuce.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Figure out how much lettuce or spinach you can eat in 2 weeks, and that's what you plant.
And if you're planning out your garden for tomato plants, you need to be putting them, several feet apart.
Yeah.
Don't think you're going to cram all that stuff in there, because you plant for the mature plant, remember.
Right.
That.
Yeah. So important.
Yeah,
when you're planting anything.
2 feet.
Mm-hmm.
About every 2 feet.
That's how we do it.
Yeah.
So it's all coming together. You're just envisioning it.
Yeah. The only thing that's not really planned is I don't know exactly how or where I know where they're going. The area's there. I just don't know how I'm going to measure it out for the dry beans and cucumbers and melons and stuff. But I'll get it in there. And there's going to be a row of amaranth in there too.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we talked about amaranth last week with greens.
Mm-hmm.
And
I listened to that show. It was a good one.
Yeah, we had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Good information. And you know it's good information. And you can also call and stump the chumps. We do that every once in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we've raised $160 so far, so we've got challenge money still on the table. We don't. We've met those challenges. Thank you so much,
nice.
Worm listeners. It is Marsha in Norwood.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Marsha.
Yeah, thanks to you down there, and thanks for listening and calling in and showing your support tonight. 527-4868, 1-866 KVNF now. You had some special beans. You're going to plant this year.
Oh, I'm seeing it. They're old. They're 2002 was when I grew them last. It's Santa Maria Pinquitos. They're little pinkish red beans. Maybe twice the size of a mung bean. Maybe somewhere around there.
Are they something you eat fresh? Or is
a dry bean.
A dry bean, yeah.
Santa Maria Pinquitos. And anyways, I am sprouting them testing the germination rate on them.
Nice.
And I'm going to they're sitting on a sprouting jar on the stove, and I'm going to rinse them with warm water.
Yeah, they like the heat.
They like the heat. So it's sort of, that's why I haven't planted them recently, even though we've had hot summers. I just was planting another thing. So I sort of have to have this intuition. It's like, okay, it's going to be a hot summer, and that's when I'm going to plant them.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And I'm not going to try to plant them early. I'm going to plant these in the first week of June. Sometimes I get away with the other stuff the middle of May.
Yep.
But these, no. I'll plant them late.
You think it's going to be a hot summer?
Right.
Not yet.
You heard it here.
Not yet.
Farmer's Almanac.
Yeah. Yeah. But I still might plant those beans.
Yeah.
Just late.
Just see what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And what else are you planting for seed this year? What are you growing for seed?
Oh, I planted those all out. Red core chantenays, carrots. A green deer tongue, or Amish deer tongue lettuce. Let's see, there's a green star lettuce, which my friend from Gunnison, Jan, wanted me to grow that one out.
I love lettuces.
Yeah, the purple kohlrabi is planted out. Newburg onion, it's a yellow heirloom storage onion. I haven't even started eating those yet. That's how well they've stored.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Goodness.
Yeah, they still got them in the box. There's about 20 pounds or so of those.
You do any baby bok choy or anything?
No,
like
I'm not bok choy green, but they do really well.
Yeah, we grow the hell out of those.
Right? Yeah, they do really good. And then what else did I plant on? I think I got all right. Let me look at my list. Amish deer tongue. Oh, I know that the flat Italian flat parsley, winter over, and that will go to seed. I planted Amish snap peas for seed.
Yeah. All right. Lots of seed going there.
Yeah, right.
Looks like we're getting some calls.
Yeah, we're getting some calls. And, you know, it's Becca and Devin in there answering the phones tonight. And we want to thank them. And, of course, Michelle in there keeping it all together. And, yep, we've got a caller on the line. And good evening, caller. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi.
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 Hi, this is Pat in Monticello, and I heard
great.
You guys were just talking about me, so I had to find out what you were talking about me about.
Well, I was curious. We had a caller several years ago about a wild plum tree that wasn't growing well.
Yeah, that was me.
That was you. Okay. Can you imagine? I remember that. And I was going, I wonder how that tree's doing.
Not any better. I really the water and the feeding and
darn.
I don't know. It just doesn't seem to want to get any bigger.
Oh, wow.
Well, gosh,
so
darn it.
I'm going to try again this year. And, you know, just actually I was water deep watering, you know, driving a perforated tube down around the root system and filling it with water and nutrients that way. So I thought, well, I'll try that and maybe that'll work.
Isn't there some sort of tool that you can put a hose on the end that you actually can push into the ground
to get water? Yeah, a deep water.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
There's actually, you can actually buy something like that.
Yep. Okay. You can.
And it can go down to 3 feet. Not that you're going to get it 3 feet around here. But
no.
Some places you could, but
maybe after you do it a few times.
Yeah.
Well, I just was thinking maybe the water wasn't getting deep enough. And so
even though I
doubled up the water last year, it really hasn't done much.
Uh-huh.
This could be the year, Pat.
It might need some iron. Might need some boron.
Oh, okay.
Might need some iron. Might need some boron.
Okay.
That's great.
So
good advice.
You might get a little soil test and give us a call back with the results one day.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Great.
Well, thanks.
Thank you, Pat. Good to hear from you.
Thanks for listening, and
thanks for your pledge. Appreciate it. And also want to thank Naropa from Paonia. I hope he's got his pruning all taken care of. And Candy and Bob in Crawford. And we do have another caller on the line. Are you their caller? Hello. Good evening. There you are.
Oh,
hello.
There we go.
Hi, guys. It's Anthony here.
Oh, hi, Anthony. Thanks so much for your challenge pledge.
Dude, I told you guys a dough joke. Friends of mine listen to your show in England, in Scotland, in France.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. So anyway, real quickly, I'm going to plant those prune de agents.
Prune de agents. Yeah.
Yeah. Just bear in mind, and also transplant these 100-year-old raspberries that I really, really want to keep.
Good.
But my soil, remember, it really hasn't been here two and a half years now, is junk. So, and it's full of mallow. I could never burn or whatever it forever. So tell me what to do.
Okay.
Get a backhoe.
I actually like mallow, and I
just
go an inch.
Mallow farm.
Yeah, just go an inch below the ground and chop it off. You do not have to pull those white roots.
Yeah,
up.
I know.
But you probably have an extreme seed bank there.
Yeah.
Of mallow. Yep. And so what? Hey, Jared, this is what you do. You put the cardboard down with the mulch on top.
That's
of it.
That's right. We take lots of cardboard. We cut it. We cut down the mallow, and we cut it down really low. And then we put cardboard on it. And then we put about 3-4 inches of compost on top.
Yeah, right.
And that eventually, chokes it out, and then you can plant right in it. So.
Yeah. Well, could he just, at this point, since he wants to transplant the raspberries,
transplant
them and then mulch, put that...
that's where we use this on our raspberries.
Yeah,
yes, we use this
cardboard right up to the plant.
Mm-hmm, right up to the plant. And this year, it's the new plants are coming right through the cardboard without any weeds. It's really nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea. But what about, like Jer, what about your sort of additives? I mean, if I trim you down for these raspberries, don't they like bone meal? Don't they like calcium down in there? Not right on the root, but just some down in there.
Yeah, well, raspberries, like, they like the calcium for sure, but they really like an acidic soil. So what you want to do is you want to get some peat and compost down in there, and they also like a well-drained soil.
Okay.
So if you can get some aggregate in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But peat and compost and aggregate is basically our berry mix that we make up at Earth Friendly Supply. And, and that is something in my field. I went out and we literally punched holes with a post hole digger, you know, 4 feet deep and a foot wide, took all that out and then backfilled them with this berry mix so that they could really get their feet under them.
Yeah.
But you could also treat the pH of the soil with just like some citric acid that we use as pH down.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you can get them more acidic, you'll get a better berry harvest.
Yeah. And something.
I'm thinking I'll trench down like 18 inches and then do the kind of thing you're talking about.
There you go.
Yeah.
That would work.
Is that far enough?
Yeah. For sure. That's far enough.
Yeah. Okay.
And there is another thing just to maintain it. If you want to use something natural, lots of people would go and get the leaf mold underneath the oak trees.
Yeah, for sure. They'll love that.
They'll really like that.
Love that.
Nice. Yeah,
the oak brush, I should say, not oak trees.
The oak brush, exactly. But
awesome. Okay, guys, thanks a lot.
Okay,
thank you,
Anthony. Appreciate your call, and thanks for your support. Appreciate it so much.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Thank you. All right. You know, I want to mention you saw a critter out there, and it's one of those critters.
Like my first grasshopper. It had
No way.
It looked pretty healthy. It was not a small one. It was about 3/4 inch. So it was a good size grasshopper. Made it through the winter.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
Time to get that semaspore out.
That's right.
Yeah. So, but cool, moist weather like this, they can't stand it.
No.
Yeah. Well, we like the rain for that, and I'm getting ready to spread that out. It actually does help. It's that and semaspore and what's the other one?
Well, it's the same thing.
Same thing.
Grasshopper spore.
Yeah.
Nolobate.
Nolobate
is a trademark.
Right. Semaspore is another brand name, but it's Noceum.
Yeah.
Anyways, what it is it's a bacteria that makes just grasshoppers and crickets and locusts sick. Yeah, locuste noceum, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes them sick, and it's very healthy to use, and then it kind of shuts down the entire population as time goes on.
Like it, yeah. All right, that brings us to the end of another show.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for coming in, Jer.
Sure.
You've been a great
had to bring
guest.
Those calendars.
And, super, $235 we raised and then also took advantage of those challenge pledges. And I want to thank Amber in Paonia, Patricia in Monticello, Utah, John and Mary in Paonia, Marcia in Norwood, Catherine in Paonia, Naropa, Bob and Candy, and Anthony here in Paonia. Great listeners.
Yeah.
Thanks for your support of the show.
Thank you.
Yeah. We'll be back next week, and Lulu will be back. So,
more garden stuff.
More garden stuff. Yeah. It's One Woman's Perspective coming up next with Amber. And thanks so much for listening. Appreciate your support as the worm turns.
Happy spring.
Have a good evening.
You're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low little away.